Welcome to the Kingdom Life San Antonio podcast. For more information about Kingdom Life San Antonio, check out kingdomlifesa.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. Here's today's message.
Man, happy Easter. You guys doing good? Awesome. I see there's lots of, you know, fun Easter clothes out there. Joey and Kelly, can you stand for a minute? Joey and Kelly are coordinating tonight. Let's give them a hand. And they are the poster children for Easter this year, so it's awesome. Well, hey, I'm excited to share an Easter message tonight. You know, we're not a church that necessarily feels like we need to preach on whatever holiday it is or whatever, but I'm going to preach a true, through and through Easter message. And the reason I'm going to do that is about a week ago, this past Friday, Autumn, one of our five-year-old twins, had a dream. And just to give you a little bit of a context, there was a prophetic guy here a little while ago named Craig Ferris, and he began to prophesy over me and my family. So I whipped out my phone and recorded it. And he prophesied over all three of my girls. And he said, London, that's my one-year-old, she sees in the spirit. In fact, that very night during worship, you could see her crawling around, just kind of looking around, and she crawled over and sat right between Kelly's legs as Kelly was worshiping, and she's just kind of staring off into something. And he prophesied, London sees in the spirit, into the angelic realm, all that. And then he said, your other two girls, your twins, God speaks to them a lot through dreams. And what's crazy is they dream all the time. Almost every morning now at breakfast, we're like, hey, Autumn, what did you dream about last night? Or hey, Charlie, what was your dream? And they dream all the time. Well, about a week ago, this past Friday, I got up early and I'm just praying a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to go back and listen to those words over my girls. So I'm just, you know, praying for my family, and I'm listening to these words, and I'm listening to him say, Autumn and Charlie hear God through dreams. I kid you not, I listen to this word. It finishes. Autumn comes down the stairs and she finds me. She crawls up on my lap and she said, I had a dream last night. And I'm like, awesome. She goes, I had a dream about Jesus rising from the dead. And I was like, that's awesome. Tell me about it. And she goes, well, he rose from the dead, but instead of him coming out of a tomb, he came out of the tube slide at the Hat Creek restaurant playground. And I was like, that's awesome. I'm like, I'll take a slide over a tomb, you know? And she's like, yeah, he was coming out the end. And he was rising from the dead. I'm like, that's awesome, Autumn. And then she goes, and then I had another dream that's kind of like a Bible story. And I go, okay, what was it? And she said, me and Charlie in London were trying to get to Jesus, but people were saying, leave him alone, he's busy. And I said, what did Jesus say? And she said, let them come to me. Let them come to me. I go, so what did you do? She goes, we all went to him. And I go, what did you do? She said, I got on his lap. I said, and what did he say? And she said, he said, I love you. And I got born again. I got saved right then, you know, on the spot, gave my life to Jesus. So, but, you know, I really believe God speaks through dreams. I think we need to pay attention to that stuff. Sometimes it's pizza. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. I believe it was the Holy Spirit, and I felt like the Lord was saying, coming into Easter, I felt like there was a call, and Kelly just preached it. I felt like there's a call for us to approach the resurrection, to approach Easter like a little child. Here Jesus is coming out of not a tomb, but a slide on a kid's playground. You know, Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom. And I don't think that just means go to heaven. I think it means we enter into the realities of the kingdom, of the supernatural, of heaven on earth, when we just take God at his word and have a simple faith like a child. And I want to talk about just approaching the resurrection like a child. And I'm going to read the Easter story, and I'm going to read from John chapter 20. Verse 1 through 8, and then 19 through 23. And then I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2 and read starting in verse 12. But I'm going to start in John chapter 20. This is the resurrection. You know, Jesus went to the cross. He was crucified, you know, was put in a tomb. Of course, on the third day, we know he rose again. How many of you are thankful that Jesus came to life and he's seated at the right hand of God and that we've, like Kelly said, we've been raised with Christ. His resurrection is also our resurrection. But I want to read this. John 20 and starting in verse 1, it says this. Very early Sunday morning before sunrise, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Don't you love that John is writing his own gospel and he calls himself the one Jesus loved? Like he liked those other guys, but he really liked me. I'm the one he loved. She told them, they've taken the Lord's body from the tomb and we don't know where he is. Then Peter and the other disciple jumped up and ran to the tomb to go see for themselves. They started out together, but the other disciple, he's talking about himself, outran Peter. Don't you like that little jab? He's like, me and Peter running to the tomb, I'm way faster than him. And he outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He didn't enter the tomb, but peeked in and saw only the linen cloths lying there. Then Peter came behind him and went right into the tomb. He too noticed the linen cloths lying there, but the burial cloth that had been on Jesus' head had been rolled up and placed separate from the other cloths. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, by the way, went in, and after one look, he believed. Now skip down to verse 19. It says, that evening the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors. But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, peace to you. Then he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Verse 21, Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. Then, taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins. And people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 2. And is it chapter 2? Is that right? Is that the scripture I gave you? Chapter 2 or chapter 12? Chapter 2. And starting in verse 12. Listen to this. This is you and I. For we've been buried with him, Jesus, into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. Everybody say, never to return. Never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. I love that. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. Listen to this. He was not their prisoner. They were his. And I just want to talk about what it looks like to approach the resurrection like a little child. And I just want to start by saying this. Listen, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel, is way better than we think it is. And I'm thankful. I believe the church is coming into a greater understanding of just how good the gospel is, how forgiven we really are, how powerful the power of the resurrection really is. But without getting too theological on you guys, like there's a few different kind of theological approaches to the atonement, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And one, you know, is called penal substitution. And that's basically the belief that it's all kind of just all about a legal agreement, that we are sinners and God's wrath had to be satisfied. So the only one that could satisfy God's wrath was his perfect son, Jesus. So he went to the cross, took our punishment, took our guilt, and then rose again so that we can be forgiven. Now, I want to say this. I do believe that Jesus going to the cross got us forgiveness. It is about forgiveness. It's about the mercy of God. But listen, it is so much more than us being forgiven and going to heaven someday. And I personally, and really, you know, I think it'd be safe to say our whole team is on the same page as this, lean more to something called Christus Victor. And Christus Victor is basically when Jesus died on the cross and went into the tomb, he also went into the very depths of hell and literally took back from the enemy the keys to the authority on earth. And that when he said, "It is finished," on the cross, he was saying, "I have crushed permanently all the powers of sickness, hell, and the grave. I have destroyed them once and for all." You can get a little bit more excited about that if you want to, that Jesus has permanently destroyed the powers of darkness. And I really believe there's something, like what would happen if as sons and daughters of God, we became like kids, like children, that just took God at his word and we're like, man, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. I carry the fullness of God inside of me. Somebody the size of Charlie or Autumn, if they have the faith of a child, carry the fullness of Jesus and heaven inside of them, and he's ready to explode everywhere they go. Like Jesus didn't just die to get us to heaven. He died to get heaven into us that we might become awakening everywhere we go, that we might become revival every single place that we go. And I believe that the enemy is terrified of us getting this revelation. The revelation of that was prophesied immediately in the book of Genesis. Remember that the enemy came in the form of the serpent. He convinced Eve to partake of the fruit. She convinced Adam. They did it. Sin entered the human race. But how many of you know that God had a plan all along? And he said, listen, devil in the form of a snake, you might bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head permanently, once and for all. Do you remember the movie The Passion of Christ? Man, that movie is so anointed. I know it's graphic. People have different opinions. I loved it. I got rocked. Like, I'll tear up in movies. But during The Passion of the Christ, I remember sitting in the theater and just weeping as I felt the anointing of God and just the passion of the Lord and what he did for us 2,000 years ago. The entire theater, I remember just sat there during the credits, just dead silent. And I just wept and wept and wept that my Jesus did that for me. And do you remember that scene when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and the snake kind of slithers under his robe, and next thing you know, his sandal is just coming down and boom, crushes the snake's head. Well, I was a youth pastor at the time, and later we'll talk about the movie at youth group, and a gal who started coming to our youth group was like, I have a testimony. I'm like, what happened? She goes, I went to see The Passion of Christ, and I was actually sick, and I was really bad. Like, she had the flu, and she was just, but she went anyway. She's sitting there watching The Passion of the Christ, and during that scene when the snake slithered, and then Jesus' sandal just comes down on its head, boom, she felt the wave of the Holy Spirit just go, and she was instantly healed right there in the theater. Isn't that awesome? Guys, there is power in the finished work of Jesus. And I believe that if we will have the simple faith like a child to just take him at his word, I'm telling you, there is more freedom, there is more power, there is more authority. Listen, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That word abundantly means full, to the fullness, overflowing, more than enough. And I'd like to propose to you that God wants you overflowing in fullness in every area of your life, your body, your soul, and your spirit, overflowing. Flowing with the fullness of God. And he purchased that at the cross. That's the gospel. And you know, one of the things that I really believe the Lord wants us in, listen, I haven't arrived. I'm far from arriving. I'm still on this journey. And Kelly touched on this when she preached my message. And that is this: the cross. Listen, the cross didn't just free us from our sin. The cross has freed us from all guilt, shame, and condemnation. It set us free. Listen, I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to not just forgive you for it, but to actually remove it from you. Listen, I believe God is so good, and the cross and the blood of Jesus is so powerful that whether you killed somebody, robbed a bank, or whatever it is, you fill in the blank, whatever it is that you did, his blood is so powerful, it doesn't just forgive you, it actually removes the sin. And makes it, as like in his eyes, as though you didn't even do it. What if we saw ourselves through the lens of that grace? Like, we actually saw ourselves as completely forgiven. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like, what if we woke up actually, even if we don't feel it, just like leaning in a little bit and going, no, I'm righteous. Like, I'm the righteousness of God. The fullness of God lives in me. He doesn't see me through the lens of my sin and my mistakes and my past and my shortcomings. Like, what if we got really convicted of our righteousness? We talk a lot about conviction of sin, right? But I mean, I want to be so convicted of my righteousness that I'm like at home, like pacing in my living room in deep thought. And Anna's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I'm just really convicted right now. And she's like, oh no, what did you do this time? And I'm like, that's the thing. I didn't do anything. It's what he did 2,000 years ago. And I just feel so convicted that I'm the righteousness of God. I'm holy in his sight. I'm pure. I'm his favorite. I remember one time when I was in school of ministry, I was battling shame about something, and I'm lying in bed and I'm like, God, and you know you're battling condemnation when you like bring it up over and over to God. Has anybody ever did that? Am I the only one? Like, you're like, no, God, seriously, like, I'm so sorry. It's like, we think that if we tell him enough, like, we'll start to feel forgiven. Like, God, seriously, I am so, he's like, get over it. He's like, get over it. He's like, I got over it a long time ago. In fact, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I'm like, I'm doing this thing. And by the way, that's not repentance, that's penance. And can I just be honest? It's actually pride. Condemnation's pride. Because it's actually believing the lie that my mistake is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I'm not that powerful. But when I believe that lie, it's actually a subtle form of pride. Now, don't feel condemned if you've been feeling condemned, okay? But so I'm doing this thing, and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. And then, like, I go into this, like, quick vision, and I see Snow White. And I'm like, I mean, I have an older sister, so I know enough about, you know, the story. But, like, it's not like I was just binge-watching Snow White. You know, I don't have Snow White posters in my room. I just see, like, this quick picture of Snow White. It's like God just drops into my spirit. He's like, Chuck, you're white as snow. Like, you're white. You're pure. You're holy. And then I, like, knew enough about the story. Remember, you know, the Wicked Witch would take the magic mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Because she's vain and she wants it to say. And the mirror would always go, well, Snow White's the fairest of them all. And God said, Chuck, not only are you as white as snow, but you're actually the fairest of them all. Like, when you worship, you're my favorite one. Like, when you come before me, I'm excited to spend time with you. You move my heart in a way that nobody else can move my heart. And it's invited me into this revelation that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that we can't afford to have any thought in our head about ourselves that God doesn't think about us. You're like, well, that's pride. No, that's actually humility. Because it's accepting that it's all about what he's done. And nothing about what I've done. And I believe that even tonight, and we're going to take communion in a few minutes, people are going to be completely set free from guilt, shame, and condemnation. As you release it to the Lord, and you step into the revelation and the understanding by faith that you're the righteousness of God. You guys doing okay? So, the resurrection is about us being the righteousness of God. And listen, the resurrection is about us being buried with Christ and raised to new life with Christ. How many of you know we're new creation? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Like, you are extraordinary. You are supernatural. You are a new creation. Listen, you have. 1 Peter says that we are partakers of the divine nature. Like, we have the DNA of God. Like, did you know that you are spirit? You have a body, but you're a spirit being. And you are filled with the fullness of God. And listen, I really believe that the people that do extraordinary things for the Lord isn't because they fasted enough, isn't because they prayed enough, isn't because they got holy enough. They simply believe like a child who the Bible says that they are. And I believe God has us on this journey as a community, that we would step into the full realization and understanding that the resurrection means we were raised with Christ as new creation. And listen, your old man, who you used to be, was crucified and buried, and it's still in the ground. And you've been raised an entirely new creation. Like, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a saint who sometimes just forgets who you really are. I like what Chris Vallotton says. If we believe we're sinners, we'll sin by faith. If we believe that's what our identity is, how many of you know you'll act out of that reality? But when you believe, I'm the righteousness of God, I don't have to sin. I can say no to that. I'm dead to that. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead even to your sinful nature. Like, our sinful nature was even crucified with him. And we were raised with a new nature, with an appetite for righteousness, with an appetite for the things of God. Does this make sense? Everybody say, I'm a new creation. Say, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. Everywhere I go, he goes. I love 1 John. It says, as he is, so are we in the world. I talk about this all the time, but like, it doesn't say as he was when he walked the earth. That'd be good. But no, it says as he is right now. Jesus Christ is glorified and seated at the right hand of God. And John said, as he is right now, so are we in the world. And man, like, I'm not awesome at this all the time, but when I like start to just meditate on that and like get a revelation of that, and I just walk into a store believing, and I've been experimenting with this lately, it's like, I'm actually in heaven right now. Like, I'm actually seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. So when I go into Walmart, I'm bringing heaven. And did you know sometimes you don't even have to say anything? And that's what's fun. It's like, you know, at church we get all spiritual and we're like, hey, let's like stretch our hands toward Brock. You know, in Walmart you can do that without raising your hand. You just look at somebody. And you don't even have to say a word. You can just think, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. And as I smile at this person, the Holy Spirit's getting on them. He's doing something in them. Just when I'm nice to a stranger and I'm generous and I do it with the understanding that I'm releasing heaven on earth, I can release the kingdom everywhere I go. We can start to see people healed. We can start to see miracles. And we can start to see the kingdom of God on display. But it's having the faith like a child, how powerful the resurrection really is. And I love this because Jesus, when he rose from the dead, number of times he appeared to his disciples as the resurrected Jesus. And this one that we just read said he appears to them. He's like, peace to you. And then it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember in Genesis, God breathed life into Adam. Now I believe Jesus is saying, listen, your old nature, your Adam is dead. Now you're a new creation. Let me breathe new life into you and release a new birth. And then he said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. How many of you know we are little Christs? We are Jesus Christ in the earth. We're his body, guys. Like, we're him. Like God doesn't have a plan B. Like, we're his plan. For planet Earth is the church. So let's just start to believe the resurrection with the faith of a child. Let's just tap into it with that childlike faith and believe everywhere we go, he goes. And he said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And sometimes when I can't sleep at night because I drank too much coffee and my wife gets mad at me because if I'm awake, she's awake. But I'll just like watch YouTube videos and or listen to messages. And lately I've been just kind of going back and listening to some preachers and teachers that I kind of got born again into. And I got saved in a movement called The Vineyard and founded by a guy named John Wimber who like, he basically looked like Kenny Rogers. He was like overweight, big like curly hair, big beard, and like he was so humble. Like during like a day where like most preachers were wearing like suit and ties, he would just like show up with khaki pants and an untucked Hawaiian shirt, and he's like, I'm just a fat boy trying to get to heaven. That's what he called himself all the time. But he birthed a movement that made signs and wonders normal in mainstream churches again. Not just the hyper-Pentecostal ones, but the Anglicans and the Catholics and the Baptists and the Presbyterians. He's like, guys, and these were some of his phrases. It's like everybody gets to play. It's not a one-man show. We all get to play. We all get to do the stuff. But part of his testimony was, you know, he used to play in a band called the Righteous Brothers, and he got saved like during the Jesus hippie movement. It was like I think it was in the 70s, and he gets saved completely unchurched, and he shows up at this church. Like, he's so unchurched that he's literally going to this church and asking, like, the pastor, like, where the ashtrays are. Like, at the end of the rows, he's like, where's the ashtrays? He's like, we don't have ashtrays. But, like, he was so raw, so childlike, but he read the Bible, and he actually just believed, oh, we can do this. Like, and his whole thing was like, guys, I read the book. Like, what are we doing? Like, I read it. And he goes to the church that he starts going to as a brand new Christian, and he's sitting through boring sermons, and he finally went to the pastor, and he goes, hey, I got a question. I understand there's no ashtrays. But he goes, when are we going to do the stuff? Pastor goes, what stuff? He goes, you know, the stuff, like raising the dead and healing the sick, casting out devils on the street, the raw power of God stuff. When are we going to do that? Pastor goes, oh, we don't do that. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, no, we read about it. He goes, we pray about it. He goes, we don't do it. And John goes, like, seriously, brokenhearted. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, I gave up drugs for this. He goes, like, I quit my professional music career to sign up for this. Like, I want to do the stuff. And that took him on a journey of just birthing the Vineyard movement, planting churches that saw the raw power of God on display. But you know what John did? He prayed for 100 sick people before he saw one miracle. Now, I'm not prophesying that you're going to do that. But that's what he contended for because he believed that it's available. But I believe it's available to every single one of us if we'll just have the faith like a child to believe the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. That as he is, so are we in the world. And we get to release him everywhere we go. So we're going to go into a time of ministry. But if you got communion, we're going to get ready to take communion. We're going to pray for some people. If you didn't get communion when you came in, can you just raise your hand where you are? Just raise your hand nice and high and somebody's going to get you that communion. One over here, they're waiting for some communion. Raise your hand nice and high if you need some. Joshua has some. I gave him some as soon as I came in tonight, but he must have ate it already because he likes snacks. Yeah, and these wafers are so delicious. All right, let's all stand together. Jesus, you're amazing. We love you, Father. You're so good. Can you just feel his presence? Just feel the peace of God and the love of the Father right now. Wow. Let's just become aware of his presence right now. Lord, we love you. We worship you. You're amazing. I just really want to follow the Holy Spirit, and I feel like we're just supposed to worship him for a minute for what he did. We're going to take communion, but can we just sing that chorus? I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you. All my soul rejoice. Let's just do that together and worship him. Anybody that sings better than me, just lead us. Just that chorus. Verse 26, it says, as they ate, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said to them, this is my body, eat it. Let's just go ahead and take the bread together. Taking the cup of wine, he gave thanks to the Father. He entered into covenant with them, saying, this is my blood. Each of you must drink it in fulfillment of the covenant. For this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out for many for the complete forgiveness of sins. Let's just go ahead and drink it together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your broken body, your shed blood, for the gospel, for the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Father, that we might be not just forgiven, but we might become new creations filled with the same Spirit that rose you from the dead. And as you are, so are we in the world. So, Father, I pray that you would release just a supernatural revelation. Just put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released all over the room right now. That as you are right now, so are we in the world. That we would have faith like a child, God, to release the kingdom everywhere we go, with signs, wonders, miracles, power, with transformation, God. Lord, would you release a spirit of courage and boldness all over the room right now to step out and put your kingdom on display. In Jesus' name. Anybody that's been battling shame, guilt, condemnation, I just break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, you have full permission to forgive yourself and to see yourself as washed, cleansed, holy, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you would walk around convicted about your righteousness. In Psalm 84, it says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. What's your name right here, bro? Oscar, God's hand is all over you right now, man. I feel like just the Lord is just doing something fresh in your heart right now. He's doing something by the Spirit of God. And I feel, I'm hearing Isaiah 61 over you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news. And I feel like the Lord is saying that you have a testimony and a story that needs to be heard and is going to set people free in Jesus' name. So I just bless you with that right now in Jesus' name. And I just want to say this, if you're here tonight and maybe, you know, maybe you don't know the Lord, maybe you think we're all crazy, I don't know. But if there's anyone here, I just want to give an opportunity, and Anna felt like I was supposed to give this invitation tonight. If there's anybody here and you say, you know what, I've never really come into relationship with Jesus. Like, I've been around church, or maybe you have been around church, but you just know that you just know, and your heart's probably beating right now. And you just know you need to give your life to Jesus. You can feel the Holy Spirit prompting you and saying, surrender your life to me. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to be really bold, really brave. This is a safe place. This is family. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand really high and just say, hey, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Either you've never done it before, or maybe you just know you haven't been walking with the Lord. And I don't mean you had a bad week or you cussed at your dog. I just mean, like, you know you're away from the Lord and you want to come back to him. If that's you, just raise your hand nice and high. And we just want to welcome you. If there's anybody, I just want to give a moment. Did you just raise your hand to do that, ma'am? All right, let's just welcome her into the family of God right now. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for being bold. Thank you for being courageous. We would love to come on up and chat with me at the end. I'd love to just meet with you and say hey to you. Anyone else, you want to surrender your life to Jesus. You've never done it, and you're saying, I want to bless you. Can I give you a hug? Bless you. I feel like there's one or two more. You've never given your life to Jesus, or you just know you're away from him, and the Holy Spirit's calling you home right now. He's a loving father saying, come back home. Let me just love on you. I don't want to accuse you. I don't want to condemn you. I just want to kiss you and love you and lavish my affection on you. You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Just raise your hand nice and high. We just want to celebrate with you. If there's anybody else, just go ahead and raise it. If not, that's totally fine. Awesome. Awesome. Well, don't you love Jesus? Aren't you thankful for the resurrection? All right, this is what I want to do as we close. I just want you to kind of get in a group. I just want to give a moment for anybody to get prayer a little bit different. If you need prayer for healing, listen, Jesus, the resurrection is about us being whole, body, soul, and spirit. If you need physical healing, if you need just, you know, a greater revelation of the love of God, or, you know, there's something happening emotionally where you just need freedom. I just want to invite you to just break into groups right now. It can be with your family, people you came with, or just other people that are here. Just right now, stand up, look around, just get in a group and ask each other, is there anything that I can pray for you for? And I want you to pray with childlike faith and release the power of the resurrection. So just go ahead and just break into groups right now and ask if you need prayer for anything.
Joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website at kingdomlifesa.com for more podcasts, updates, and events, or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a blessed day.